my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then.
Good morning and welcome to the final programme in the series Welcome to My World. This morning, Tommy Maron is in conversation with Betty Hassett from Charlestown, who earlier this year celebrated her 100th birthday.
Good morning and welcome to the final episode in our series Welcome to My World. Well, over the past 9 weeks, I've been privileged to have been in conversation with amazing people who all have shared their ups and downs of their lives with me. Catherine Gallagher from ACL, who spoke to me about her disability and her role as an advocate in promoting the whole disability sector. Gurcheen native Father Frank O'Grady shared his story of ministry in all corners of the world. Mildred Byrne reminisced on her musical career and her passion for volunteering and dancing. Gina Herity spoke to me about her work in Haiti. John Joyce talked to us through his cancer journey. Father Charlie MacDonald recounted his 25 years in the priesthood ahead of his departure from the parish of Westport a few weeks ago. Helen Rochford Brennan shared her lived experience with Alzheimer's. And last week, Monica Morley gave us a great insight into her life and work within the areas of bereavement, grief and loss. And so this morning, I've arrived at the final chapter of this journey. And what better way to do it than by talking to a lady who earlier this year celebrated her 100th birthday. Betty Hassett was born in Barrack Street, Charlestown, on the 28th of January, 1923. She was the eldest of 12 children, and after her education in Ireland, Betty headed off to the bright lights of London town in 1946 to work as a shorthand typist. In London, she met and subsequently married her Kerry-born husband, Johnny Hassett, and they had three children, Annette, Michelle and Sharon. In August 1957, the Hassetts came back to Charlestown and bought a guest house that was to become known as the Premier Guest House, and which they ran successfully for 36 years before retiring in the early 1990s. Sadly, Johnny passed away in 1999. And 2 years ago, at the age of 98, Betty made the decision that she wanted to move to St. Attractus Nursing Home just outside Charlestown. Last Monday, I arranged to meet up with Betty and two of her daughters, Sharon and Michelle, to share with me Betty's life and memories of growing up in Charlestown, her life in London, and running a guest house in a small west of Ireland town. Before I chatted to Betty, I wanted to find out from Michelle and Sharon what life was like for them growing up in a guest house, and also to hear their memories of their mum, who is still hale, hearty and well at the age of 100. I first spoke to Michelle. Michelle, your mum's in great form. Looking at her here today, what are you thinking?
Oh, Tommy, what am I thinking? She's marvellous, wonderful woman, was always a wonderful mammy. Bit strict when we were growing up, but I suppose she only had to be. She's wonderful. She's reached 100. No real ailments, no real medication. I take more tablets than she does. She's fabulous. We had a wonderful childhood. Mammy and Daddy were both extremely good to us. We've been very privileged children all our lives. We got everything we wanted when we wanted it. Can't say any more than that. She's a wonderful mammy.
I want to ask you about Christmas, because most children, Christmas is magical. But for the Hassetts, it was extra magical.
It absolutely was, Tommy. I don't ever remember Christmas at home in my own house. Because of the business in the Premier, Mam and Dad never got a summer holiday, so they would close up for the Christmas period when we were on holidays from school, and we would head off, whether it was to the Brandon in Tralee or the Tower in Waterford, or in 1970, about 4 or 5, I think, we actually went to Mallorca on our holidays, which would have been unheard of then. And we brought the turkey with us. The turkey came out on the carousel with the luggage, the turkey and the ham, if I remember rightly. And Daddy cooked the turkey and the ham in the little apartment in Mallorca.
Was she disciplined?
Yes, Mammy was disciplined, but not hugely strict. We could get away with murder with Daddy, but Mammy was the boss.
And there needs to be a boss.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'd be the boss in my house.
Yeah. I'm not totally surprised. And apart from all of that, then running a business and going to school and doing your exams, was there times when you said, I wish to God I didn't grow up in a guest house?
Never. Sure, we didn't know any different. That was our life. It was busy. It was people coming, going. We always had something to do. It might not have been what we wanted to do, and you'd have to allocate your hour in the afternoon to go swimming when most people would be gone for the afternoon. But sure, we were happy. We were cleaning toilets, waiting tables, making beds.
And Mum was the supervisor?
Oh, absolutely. Taught us everything we know.
Had she a favourite?
Oh, me, of course. No, don't think so. We all got the same treatment. Whatever one got, the other got. If it was three dolls, three coats, three pairs of shoes, always we all got the same.
Sharon, can I ask you a little bit about the funny incidents or not so funny incidents that happened over the years in the actual guest house itself?
Oh my God, there were so many of them. I can't really tell you most of them, but there were a few that were quite funny. And I suppose looking back, you know, there were things, I suppose, that, you know, you had no control over. There was one instance where we had a lady who came from America. She wasn't well, didn't come down for her meals one day, and we decided we better go up and investigate what was going on. My father went up. And in those days, you had locks in the drawers with keys. So he had to look in through the keyhole because we were knocking on the door and she wouldn't answer. And eventually, anyway, we had a spare key. So said we better go in and make sure that she was OK. So in we went. She was lying in the bed and she wasn't communicating at all. So eventually we had to get the doctor for her. It was just one of those bizarre things. I mean, if that was to happen nowadays and you walked into somebody's room, you know, it wouldn't be acceptable. But, you know, they were the funny side of it, you know. We had a commercial traveller, and Mammy will speak about the commercial travellers that we had. They stayed with us all the time, became really part of the family. And there was one in particular, Jack Finlay was his name. He's now deceased, and he was at our weddings. And as we grew up, he used to do up a horsey. We still remember it. We did that with our children when they were growing up. And we'll always think about Jack Finlay when you see kids doing up a horsey. It was really, really fun time for us.
Your uncle Eamon ran the Central Ballroom in Charlestown, Sharon, for many years. And a lot of the big superstars from the 60s, 70s and 80s actually stayed in the Premier Guest House when you were kids.
Yes, and that was something that we were the envy of the town. During the Western Rose, we had Pat Kenny, a very sociable man. We enjoyed his company. He used to, you know, come down to the restaurant and eat with us and, you know, had a great time. And then any of the show bands, that was the big thing. We had the Indians, Brendan Boyer, Joe Dolan, the Swarbrigs, yeah. What used to happen was they would come early in the evening, have their dinner, they'd check in, and then they'd go down to do a sound check. Because our uncle owned the ballroom, we always had the privilege of being down there early and up in the balcony, looking down on them, you know, and then we'd get to go later on in the night time free. And because Mammy was so strict, we had to be back in before, like, the dance used to finish at 2 o'clock. If we weren't home by 2:15, she was out of the door waiting for us with rollers in her hair. And woe betide if we weren't up the road by 2:15. But yeah, we had some great memories. And you know what? All those show band guys, they were just normal people and they enjoyed the crack. It was just a fun time and they realised that we were family orientated and that we were, you know, kind of open to them coming into the kitchen late at night and, you know, going into the fridge and taking out a chicken and eating it. And there was no, you know, there was no airs and graces about it. It was very family orientated,
right.
Yeah.
And just a final word back to you, if I can, Michelle. Your mum, she's come to this beautiful nursing home, St. Attractors Nursing Home in Charlestown, home from home, and the atmosphere here is second to none, and Trina and the crew do a great job.
Oh my goodness. When I speak about where Mammy lives to my friends at home in Carlow, they can't believe that it's a nursing home I'm talking about. Mammy wants for nothing. Actually, none of the residents want for nothing here. This is party central. The drinks trolley comes out at the drop of a hat. They were fed and watered and cared for so sympathetically every day. There's nothing I can fault about St Etractus. And from our family to St Etractus, to Trina, Alison and all the gang, thank you so, so much for all you do. You don't know the half of what you do. It's wonderful. Thank you.
And just to finish with the two daughters before we talk to the main star herself, you'll never get this opportunity again, Michelle or Sharon. What is the one thing you would like to say to your mother?
Oh, Mammy, sure, we love you to bits. We are what we are because of you.
Sharon?
Yeah, I just feel that she gave us a great grounding. She gave us a great work ethic, and herself and Daddy gave us a wonderful life. And we're the people we are because of them today.
And that was Sharon and Michelle giving me the heads up about their mum. And so to the lady herself, looking radiant and relaxed, Betty shared her world of over 100 years with me. Betty, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
Lovely to talk to you. You look absolutely amazing. Do you feel good?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for God, I have great health. No problems.
Did you always have good health?
I did, yes, always. Yeah. I was the eldest of 12. I helped my mother a lot. I had to because there was no such thing as anybody else do it, so I helped my mother. I remember I used to do the ironing and I had to stand on a stool to reach up to the table. There was no such thing as ironing boards.
So you really had, because you were the eldest, you had to, I suppose, pull your weight more than the others.
Well, it was five boys after me. It was 7 years between me and the next girl.
And tell me about your mother and father. What did they do? How did they earn a living?
My father, they had a hackney business and he drove people to everywhere and anywhere. Then he used to go to Inniscrone down to Carahubbock. It was a very cheap kind of a place people went. So I said, this year, I'd love to go to Carahubbock. I couldn't get over it because it was all so modernised, beautiful homes and everything. It wasn't the Carahubbock that I knew when I was growing up. My father had the garage and he had a coach and he did runs to Knock and Inniscrone, different places with people, you know.
There wouldn't have been many Hackneys around then.
Not at that time, I suppose, you know.
So. And where was your mother from?
Charlestown, right. Yeah. She was Henry. Her name was Henry.
She came from a small family. So growing up with 11 siblings, it had its moments.
Well, I suppose it had, but on the other hand, we didn't take it. We just carried on, you know. I was Daddy's pet, which was true.
Well, unsurprisingly, I mean, as the oldest and the only girl, you know, so you were Daddy's girl.
Daddy's pet, yeah. That's what you said to me, Daddy's pet.
So then it was off to school. Did you enjoy school?
Oh, I did. I went to National School in Charlestown. And then this lady, her name was Miss Cahill. She started the secondary school in Charlestown. And I was one of the first pupils. And there I did my Leaving Cert in 1941. It was three of us. Another girl, it was Veronica Welch was her name. No relation. And Tommy Moffat. He was from Charlestown. He was became a vet and made the three of us do our Leaving Cert in 1941.
And can you remember how many subjects you did?
Did English, Irish, French, Latin, maths, of course. Yeah. Maths were the bane of my life. I failed my interest cert in the maths. And when you failed that time, one exam, you failed the whole exam, which wasn't right, really. Mm. So I had studied very hard for my Leaving Cert. So I got my Leaving Cert with honours.
Good on you. So you had to knuckle down.
I had, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
And did you enjoy Irish?
Yeah, I didn't mind the Irish at all. It didn't bother me. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, there you are in 1941 doing the Leaving Cert. A lot of people wouldn't believe that in 1941 we were teaching young students like you whatever about Latin, French.
Yes, I did French. Mm. I did French in my Leaving Cert, actually, and I got honours in it.
You were obviously quite a clever young lady.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I was clever, but I worked hard.
And what about your brothers and sisters? Did they ultimately go on to do Leaving Certs?
There were seven brothers all together, wasn't that right? Mm. And five girls.
So then, after the Leaving Cert, what happened? Were you ambitious?
I'll tell you what happened. I was at home, the war was on. people were going to England, but my father wouldn't let me go to England. He said, you know, I had a brother in England, and he said, it's enough to be worrying about one besides worrying about you going to England. So he wouldn't let me go to England. So I was at home for a while. I met a nun, and they had a convent in Coolarne. It was near Galway. And there were the Sisters of Charity, the French Sisters of Charity. They wore the big white hats at the time. And I got very friendly with her. So off I went to the school there.
So that was a domestic science
domestic
school.
Science, yes. Yeah.
And before we talk about your time there, Betty, why did you want to go to England?
Well, of course, there was nothing at home. There was nothing in Ireland at the time. So everybody was going to England. But the bombs are being thrown at the time, you know, and all that kind of thing.
But, I mean, you had a good leaving cert, so did you contemplate maybe doing nursing or teaching?
No, I didn't. I never. I was typing. I was a shorthand typist. Okay. I did shorthand and typing, and I did that in my leaving cert as well.
You head off to Coolarne in Athenry, right, to the French Sisters of Charity. Yeah. How long did you spend there? I think a couple of years.
A couple of years there, yeah.
And so when you came out of there, what were you qualified to do?
Cooking and all that kind of.
Right, okay.
Yeah, cooking and sewing, needlework.
Yeah. And was that something you always liked?
Yeah, mm. Yeah, I did, yes, surely. Yeah.
And like everything else, were you good at it?
I suppose I was, yeah.
So you left there.
And then I was at home, and there was a place going for sale, and my father said, we should buy that. It was owned by a dentist, and we bought it anyway, myself and my husband, and we started the guest house, and that was called the Premier Guest House.
And a well-known establishment, and we'll get to that later on, but I just want to take you back. You finish in the Domestic Science College, and then you saw an advert in a newspaper.
I did, for a shorthand typist in England. I applied for it, and I got it, and they came and interviewed me.
Did they come to Ireland?
They did, yes.
Yeah. Your father didn't mind you leaving then?
Well, he didn't, but he wouldn't stop me, you know. Yes. So
from going.
That was it.
So you applied for the job. They interviewed you in Charlestown?
Yeah.
And you got the job?
I got the job.
And what kind of a firm were you going to be working with?
The government.
Good job.
Yeah, it was with the government.
So you headed over to London?
London.
What were your first impressions of London?
Huge. Change from Charlestown. Yeah. I got used to it.
And did you have any connections in London where you could stay, or were you completely on your own?
I had friends in London anyway, but I wasn't really on my own. Mm-hmm. My brother was there. Paddy was his name.
So you were over there, and did you like the job?
I did, yes. My boss, and his name was Mr. Kenny.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. So you had a good time there, and was the social life good in London?
Well, it was, but it was the Irish club, you know. Mm. It was in Holloway and around Tower Ballroom.
And can you remember any of the bands that used to play at that time, or was it just local bands?
They had Irish bands, you know. Mm.
It's hard to remember them all.
Yeah, I know, Dickie Rock and Brendan Boyer. Yeah.
So Joe Dolan.
Joe Dolan, yeah.
Great, so you had a great social life. And did you have many boyfriends?
Not really.
So you're over in England, and then do you meet your husband-to-be in England?
Yes, I did, yeah.
So tell me about him.
He was from Kerry.
He was a painter.
A painter, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Where did you meet him? Don't say the Galtymoor.
No, with the Round Tower.
The Round Tower.
Yeah.
How long were you courting then before you got married?
Well, it must be a couple of years. Mm.
So he was working in London as well?
Yeah.
Did you get married in London or in Ireland?
I got married in London. I do remember it. I cried most of the day because my father came to give me away, and we had a business in Charlestown, and somebody had to stay at home, so my mother stayed at home. So I cried most of the day for my wedding day because my mother wasn't there.
Yeah. And did any of your siblings come over?
They did, yeah.
So you got married in the church, and then there was a little reception afterwards.
Yeah, it was in Highgate.
Was there a honeymoon?
Yeah. Do you know where I went?
No.
Paris.
Paris?
Paris. Myself and my brother Andrew, we used to go to Florida every year, and we got to know people there. And as a matter of fact, people that I knew there, they were here this year on a holiday and really came in here to see me.
Then it was a case of coming back to Charlestown. Why did you make the decision, you and your late husband, to move home?
Well, I never intended to stay in England. My father said this place became vacant in Charlestown, and he said you could do worse than set up a guest house. And it only had 4 bedrooms, it was. So he said, you should buy that. So we bought it, and I remember well, it was £100. Probably £100 was a lot of money at that time. So we bought the house, and we called it the Premier.
And that was in the late 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1957, I think, you came back.
Yeah.
And were you worried about it? I mean, £100, as you say, was an awful lot of money at that time, and, you know, guest houses wouldn't have been very popular.
Were, but I was very lucky, like there was nothing much in Charlestown, so people get to know it, and through their relations and all that, and I was to be booked out, completely booked out. And then I did a very good commercial travellers, all the commercial travellers, because Charlestown was central for them, and all the commercial travellers came, and I had them every 6 weeks.
So you were able to stay open all year round?
All the year, yeah.
And did your husband work in the business too?
Yeah, he did. So he got used to it.
Yeah. What was his chores, or as opposed to yours?
Oh.
Was he on the upkeep?
Everything and anything.
Yeah. So it was early mornings and late nights and hard work.
That's for sure. Mm. Early mornings. There was no such thing as central heating at that time. And as a matter of fact, we were the very first ones in Charlestown to get central heating. But there was no central heating at that time. And I used to get up in the morning, maybe before 7 o'clock, so that I would have the dining room fire on and the place warm before the commercial travellers. Because I did a very good commercial travellers. They got to know it, and I did a very good trade with the commercial travellers. And I had to look after them.
So did you do evening meals as well?
Yes, we did everything. Evening meal, dinner, lunch, suppers.
Did you enjoy it all, Betty?
Well, I did. I'm quite happy.
Right, listen, we're going to take your first piece of music. And it's interesting, you mentioned there the day of your wedding, that sadly that your mother had to stay at home.
Yeah.
Can we dedicate this song to your late mother?
That would be lovely.
And the song is called A Mother's Love.
Love is a blessing.
Is a blessing.
Keep her while you can.
Thank you. till she's buried beneath clay. For you'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried.
And that was a song called A Mother's Love's a Blessing, the first choice of our guest on Welcome to My World today, Betty Hassett from Barrack Street in Charlestown, born on the 28th of January 1923. And here we are in St. Attractor's Nursing Home in Charlestown talking to her this Sunday morning. So Betty, take up the story. You got married in England and your first child was born in England. Then you came home, you opened up the guest house. So how many children did you have altogether?
Three girls.
All girls?
All girls.
Do you regret not having a boy?
No.
Why not?
Took what God sent.
Take what God sends. So the three girls were growing up. You were in the guest house working away and things were going well. Were you making a few pound?
Well, I suppose we were. Otherwise it wouldn't be worth doing.
Would you talk to me about Father Gilday? He was the priest.
He was the priest, yeah. He was a great friend of mine.
So one day he came in to you for a cup of coffee and he made the suggestion that maybe it was time to do something in Charlestown to give the place a bit of a shake-up.
That's right, yeah. And we started off at the Western Rose. And he said, what will we call it? So I said, well, we'll call it the Western Rose. So it became an annual fair. It went on very well. We used to go around to the different dance halls and interviewing girls.
The final then took place in the local dance hall, the Central Ballroom.
Central, yeah.
And you had some very well-known national personalities who used to compare it.
We had Pat Kenny, yeah.
How many? Well, he came for many years, didn't he?
He did, yes. Yes. Yeah.
And did he stay in the guest house, Pat
he
Kenny?
Did, yes, he did, yeah.
So did you get to know him fairly well?
I did, yeah. We did, of course, yeah.
What kind of a man was he?
He was lovely, yeah, lovely man.
So it went on for many years, the Western Rose competition, and it brought people to the town.
It sure did. It became such an annual thing, like people took their holidays to coincide with the Western Rose.
You retired in the early 1990s, along with your husband, Johnny. Was it a hard decision to decide to retire?
Well, I suppose it was in a way, but on the other hand, I had enough of it, you know. It was 47 years working.
So it was time to relax. So you retired along with your husband, Johnny, but sadly he passed away in 1999.
99, yeah.
That was a terrible shock, was it?
Well, it was, but he wasn't keeping well, so that was it. Sure, I had my family around me and I was well looked after, yeah.
And here you are now, Betty. Can you believe you're 100?
I don't feel any different.
Yeah.
I was at home living on my own in the house and I thought, well, I can't be bothered living on my own. It meant that somebody used to come in visiting me or I was still on my own at night. And I thought, this is getting a bit too much to be on my own all at night. So I decided then, well, here I am, I'll go into the nursing home. So that's how I ended up here.
So this was your choice?
Yes, it was my choice. And I put the house up for sale and it was only on the market one day and it was sold. Our neighbours bought it, actually.
Would you say it was a great move?
It was, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. Because I knew I was looked after and we went on outings and all that kind of thing.
And you could still go on an outing if you wanted?
Oh, yeah. Michelle and Sharon live in Carlo. They're married to two brothers. I go to Carlo. Maybe more so than Charlestown. And sure, I go out walking every day. And I've been down to Charlestown a few times.
Your 100th birthday was a big celebration.
Yeah.
I know there was a big celebration here in the nursing home and you went into Charlestown for a special mass.
Special mass, yeah.
Yes. And then to Walsh's.
To Walsh's afterwards. And anybody and everybody came to it. Didn't matter who they were. Mm. For all around. Mm. And then I think some of them went to Murray's afterwards, didn't they?
Of course they did. But you came home.
I came home.
Yeah. Do you follow much about the news or do you read the newspaper?
Oh, I do, yes. Oh, yeah.
It's a funny world, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is a funny world. I'd say that again. Yeah.
But mind you, you mean you lived through a war?
I did. Yeah, surely.
We're going to play another song now. This is a song called The Power of Love by Jennifer Rush. And the reason that we're going to play this song is this was Johnny's favourite song. So here it is from Jennifer Rush.
The whispers in the morning of lovers sleeping tight, all rolling by like thunder now, as I look in your eyes, I hold on to your body and feel each move. Your voice is warm and tender, a love that I could not forsake, 'cause I
thank you for sharing your life with us today, Betty. And all we can do is hope that the next 100 years are as good for you as the last 100. What do you put your long life down to?
Well, I worked hard. It didn't kill me. My father used to say hard work never killed anybody. I never drank and I never smoked.
The few prayers as well.
It's for sure thrown in.
For good measure.
Yeah.
And they're looking after you well here in St. Attractus.
fantastic. Mm. Yeah, very good here altogether.
Have you any regrets?
No, I don't have any regrets. I have no reason to have any regrets. No, and I haven't, no. That's the truth.
Because you've had a great, long, healthy life.
Long, long life.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Betty, thank you so much for inviting us to your world. And all I can say on behalf of all of us is have a lovely day today and enjoy.
Thank you very much indeed, Tommy, for good talking to you.
And to you.
Thank you.
And that was Betty Hassett, our guest this morning on the final programme in the series Welcome to My World. Our thanks to Betty's family and also Trina and all the staff at St. Attractive's Nursing Home in Charlestown.